think you can start anytime you want.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let's start now.
Romans 2.
Oh, boy. Did you say Romans 2?
We finished yesterday.
Holy crap.
Where were you? Silent. We're sorging.
Now remember, you cannot read or any scripture for that matter and just take selected scriptures. You got to go through the whole, you know, you got to read it in the context of the letter. Right? Everybody understand that? So we just saw how that, you know, that everybody essentially is they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They put him to the test for the purpose of the proving, and when that happens, then they're inexcusable. So, because they have all returned to the crap, right? So now, Romans 2 clarifies this by one sentence.
Therefore,
thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing.
That's a great one.
I hate Al Gore.
I know. And the damn you do that, you start becoming like him.
Well, so what you are, what this see, it doesn't mean if you see something in somebody else that you don't. That you don't like or you don't think they should be doing, that you're doing exactly the same thing. It means, in a pristine way, that you've left the mercy seat and returned to the flesh, to the judgment seat. So you're inexcusable because you've left mercy and gone to judgment. Now, some of you do this 43 times a day, Harry. And that has to stop. You are inexcusable to judge down another.
It's real funny in that I hate Al Gore thing. It's like I got to thinking, well, why would I have such a response to this guy? And it's like he beat me to it. You know? He came up with this grand scheme of being a megalomaniac. Whatever, and he's been successful.
What are you talking about?
Other people know. No?
No.
Well, it's like, no. Why would you hate somebody except that you're judging them down because they're doing something maybe you would like to be doing? You know. And
what, did you judge Ted Haggard?
No.
Okay. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Did anybody in the room? Anybody? See? You don't want to accept this truth, Harry, because it's hurtful.
What truth? What is the point?
The point is when you judge somebody, you're guilty of the same thing.
Is that what we're talking about?
That's what it says right here.
I thought you were talking about why you hate Al Gore. I was waiting to find out how you and Al Gore are similar.
Well, he come up with this grand scheme of climate control. He's got the whole world.
He said the word scheme.
You're no outdoor. You're no outdoor.
I got up.
Sometimes I don't read the paper.
That's schema.
All right. Let's move on.
The conduct. Thou art inexcusable, O man. It's not that you do the identical thing, but you sin against light, which is you're doing this, both are doing the same thing. Again, we this is another huge one. Whatever you're consciously against, you are subconsciously subject to. And that goes on and on. We've seen ever since the day we became believers, we've seen examples of this. Inexcusable is anapologetos. It means without defense. It means that there's nothing you can do to talk yourself out of it. There's nothing you can do to justify your position. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you have all this defense in your favor of why you can say that person is wrong. Boom. You are. There's nothing to say. There's only one act to do the minute you judge another down, and that is, Father, forgive me because I'm doing it.
The clearest example of that for me is David in...
We're going to read that in just a second. We're going to see what somebody said.
Kiss ass.
Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 12. See? Kevin's taking over Ronnie's role.
It's the seat. It's the chair.
You guys talked before Bible study. 2 Samuel.
Chapter 12.
That big Samuel?
Grown up Samuel.
This place is a zoo.
You're just now figuring that out?
No. All right. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own food and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for him the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man hath done this thing, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thine. So, this is the clearest example. Whenever you judge, is that you?
Yeah.
Got an email.
All right. The word judge, and back to Romans 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Judgest is the word krino. And it means censorious criticism or derogatory appraisal. But then it says, that's the minor sin. You're just thinking that person, something's wrong. You're thinking, you're judging them down. You're looking at them down. But then he said, when thou judgest another, when thou krinost another, thou condemnest thyself. And that's kata krino. That's the ultimate judgment. So you just have an opinion. And since, I hate Al Gore. But you, by that, you have condemned yourself. Or, I can't work with that person ever again. Somebody's got to go. Boom. Or, whatever it is. This it becomes most pristine in a marriage, because I promise you, you will constantly judge your partner down. Or just, I wish I wouldn't do that. are they doing that? But it becomes, the second place that it becomes most obvious and often done is in community. And I promise you, you will always find somebody to look down on. And every time you do, it's the Holy Spirit telling you what you're guilty of. You can never be right.
You know, one of the factors of that judgment seems to be your blindness. When you're judging someone else down, you just absolutely have no peripheral vision to see it.
And that's why this is one of the arenas, one of the principal arenas, why we exhort one another daily while it is still called today. And nobody likes it. You don't like to be, oh, I want to be exhorted. No, you don't. Nobody does. And if you're a respecter of persons, then you'll never exhort them. So therefore, you are robbing from them whatever it is you have to say. Oh, I can't say that because I haven't been here long enough. Well, you've already said it. You've already done it. And that's why. That's why community has to exist as a part of Christianity, where you know each other so well that you won't run around. You have to always end up feeling that somebody has wronged you, or you're looking down on somebody. And that, the moment you look down on somebody, or even believe somebody's looking down on you, then you're both wrong. It's God revealing to you your own sin. Can everybody see this? Because I promise you, it'll happen today. Something will transpire, and you will look down on somebody. Or will just the flip side of the same coin, something will happen and you will think somebody's looking down on you. It's both the same. Please hear this. And if you don't understand it, let's talk about it. This and forgiveness are the two primary things. We exhort one another daily while it is still called a day. Exhort him to do what? Exhort him to behave like you want him to behave? No. Exhort to return to the mercy seat because you've left it for that momentary feeling. Thou art inexcusable if you judge anyone else down. And I promise you, if you think somebody is doing harm to you, then you're judging somebody else down.
I have a classic example of this. This is why Larry and I got in a fist fight over at the Rutledge's some years ago. He was judging somebody down, but I knew him real well, obviously. And I said, Larry, you do the same thing. I wasn't exhorting him. I was publicly humiliating him by my comment. A private exhortation he probably would have heard. But as it was, he threw wine in my face when we were off to this city. But it was a very clear example.
Well, that's why Bloom called it the fist-fighting stage. Fisticuff stage, whatever he said. That's why Pete got smacked in the face.
Couldn't get smacked again.
Huh?
Smack you back.
What?
We're about to go back to a little.
What did you say?
I think John Bojo said it.
What did you say, Harry?
I said he's going to get smacked again. Hey, I'm not going to let nobody mess with my roommate like that.
You never hear things like that?
No.
You let everybody else mess with me.
Huh?
How come you never defend me?
Different levels. What I'm thinking about is this thing that you're describing. It's not like heaven is waiting for you to make a misstep and then they send somebody down to execute this action. You move yourself out of the strong city. When you do this, you move yourself into, out of the blessing and into damnation, into everything's coming down on your ass. It's not like angels are waiting to punish you.
No, you do it yourself.
You do it yourself, and it's just, you know, you step out of the, I don't know how to explain it, but.
he that judges from another falleth from a strong city.
As you step back into the fire.
You step back to the judgment seat. You leave the mercy seat, you step back to the judgment seat.
And that stuff about, there's one someplace that talks about how your sin has separated you from God.
Isaiah 59.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's heavens are like brass.
Is it also true that when you're judging others, you're maybe not at peace and at rest with yourself?
Well, by definition, if you're in a judgment seat, you can't be. You can't be on the mercy seat.
And therefore, you
got to find somebody. If you can find one other person that you can look down on, then you can exist. You can cope. Do you understand that? This is why, you know, in Him there is no condemnation. And that's not something you're going to arrive at. It's something that it's eternally true. There is therefore now no condemnation. The only question is, do you leave that for the sake of, because you've got guilt, and therefore because you have guilt internally, then for a moment, you if that's true, I promise you, if you still have guilt, and if onlys and what ifs, then you will have to judge somebody else in order for you to continue to cope with that guilt. That's the way we work. That's why we love the twilight, because we can make these idiotic judgments about our life.
You know, this stuff is going to kill us, because now that we understand it, let's say we all understand it, we're going to see other people who don't understand it, and we're going to judge them down for not understanding this. I know I'm going. I just know that that's what's going to happen.
How can you talk yourself into the pit that quickly? I mean, in less than 3 seconds, you went from peace to the pit.
Because this is true, what I'm saying.
You're so wrong. And I was about to say, and the more the facts support your judgment, the worse shape you're in.
Yeah.
The tighter the bonds, the more difficult to spit it out, the more the facts support your judgment.
Well, the longer you've had to invent the facts.
That's what I mean, the facts.
Yeah. Your facts, yeah.
The facts. Yeah. They may be right, they may be wrong, whatever it is, but the more evidence that you can summon, the worse shape you're in, because the harder it's going to be to let go of it.
That's
and you'll get fighting mad. You will fight for it.
Get to the point where you say, the mountain to fall on me.
Right.
I'm not gonna move.
Exactly.
That's where that quick repentance is.
It's the only thing that can ever happen. It doesn't matter whether you're here 5 minutes or 50 years, or in Him 5 minutes or 50 years. The only thing that you ever learn is repentance faster, to repent faster.
What God told David takes it right back to God. He told him, if that one, I gave you all this stuff, if that wasn't enough, you know, like, he was fixing to give you climate control. He almost would have given you climate control.
What's this climate control?
It's a scheme.
It's a damn scheme.
Are you judging?
No, I just want to know what it is. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's Gary's vague impression of something that Al Gore has done.
His house uses 20 times the average calories.
Average calories.
Can we get back to...
these are object lessons.
Well, you should never make the object lesson somebody that's not able to defend himself.
I guess I'll have to look around the room.
No. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, for whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now, you know, people are running around talking, everybody's talking about the anointing. And there's 60 jillion scriptures I have about the anointing. Well, the anointing, the true anointing, is at no other place than the mercy seat. And the anointing is, the Holy Spirit has, what's he here for? Remember? Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do all this bad stuff. No. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of judgment because the prince of the world has already been judged. So what can you do? And of righteousness because he's gone to the Father. What other thing can you be right about? You can't be right about anything. That takes the whole idea of judgment and righteousness to the ends of the universe. Let's just to make sure you think don't think I made that up. Let's go to John 16. I think. Badass John. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not or cannot come unto you. Now, think about that. If he didn't leave, visibly, the Comforter could not have come. Can you understand that? Because you cannot separate the Comforter from Christ. His only function, the Holy Spirit's only job, is to reveal him. It's not to get you healed, it's not to get you wisdom. And all of this crap that goes on where they, that separates the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ is heresy. Now listen, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, these are the three things he will do. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Remember, what must I do to do the work of God? Believe on him who has sent. That's it. Period. What does that mean? It means that every split second, every nanosecond of your life, you're only in that moment of dependence on the Father. Because you're in him. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. If he would have remained in the world, you could not have had righteousness. Because righteousness is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. There can't be any other... Do you understand that statement takes all in judgment in time and space and it just and makes it silly. What? Gary, you're doing it.
I have to read it to get a little better grip here. Of judgment.
Of righteousness, because it goes to the Father. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. The only righteousness is him at the Father. And the only judgment, he's already taken care of.
And that's just so far-reaching.
It's infinite.
Doesn't leave anything out.
No. It's infinite. It's eternal, and it's perfect. You have no wiggle room.
So there's nothing left to do? this is good stuff.
It's good stuff if somebody lives it. It's not good stuff to think about, because you don't have any more righteousness. You can never again be right.
I mean, this stuff kills you. I mean, if there's any living, it's Christ in you, because you hear this stuff, what are you going to do?
You have no excuse.
There's no place to go.
I just... breathtaking. You said the Holy Spirit is not doing anything except revealing Christ. In that moment that you said that, I realized that for each of us, there is a moment coming. It's the moment between here and the other side. It's the moment of seeing Christ face to face. It's the moment of death. And in that moment, which is really the only moment that matters, because it's the end, and the others pass away, it's the only one that matters. In that moment, it will not matter whether you were healed of cancer or educated or rich or had 25 kids or were happy or were sad. Nothing will matter other than what the Holy Spirit is doing, which is revealing Christ.
And any other position is rebellion.
Nothing else matters.
That's right.
And
but all the stuff that's in the scriptures are the tells to whether or not that's what you're living. It talks about, you know, whatever it is. It's just simply the tell to see whether or not this is what you're living. And there's a thousand tells. That's why the cosmic poker game is so simple. This moment isn't coming. The moment is already here. It's only our rebellion that's caused us to think that it's coming.
I'm always amazed at how evil man is.
Now, don't be amazed at how evil man is. Be amazed at how evil... Yeah, but nobody saw that.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I'm always amazed how evil this man is.
Okay.
Because on this judgment thing, I'm thinking, well, the big judgments are the bad ones. But the little ones you can kind of slip by with, you know.
Right.
But no. I mean, and those are the ones that are going to get you.
Right, because it reveals the false worship in the temple.
Yeah.
Reveals you're still worshiping the instead of Christ.
And the evil is that you think you can get away with that little stuff. You know, the old man doesn't understand the totality. It's Christianity light.
Well, it's not even Christianity. It's Babylon.
I can relate to what Gary's saying, because it's almost the big judgments, the profound judgments, are hateful and mean and obstructive. But the lighter judgments are, I'm right, and that's
or I'm a victim of somebody, or somebody's doing me wrong.
Yeah.
Or this is what I would do. Any of those. So but the point of it is.
Consistency.
Go ahead.
It's just living your life very inconsistent.
Well, again, remember, abandon yourself, pick up your cross, and you will follow him.
That's why people don't like you.
Who doesn't like me? Is there somebody that doesn't like me?
Yeah, I'm crazy about you.
No, it's just because you don't be slack. A lot of people like a little slap so they can squeeze through the cracks, you know, but your preaching is so black and white and total absolute.
Or as Ronnie said the other day,
just say no.
Don't look at me like that, because it's those eyes that get me.
Look at that thing there. What did you say?
Make it
I don't think that's a game fish.
Just say no slap.
No, the point, this is the only thing I've ever taught. It's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. And don't go play in the dung anymore.
Yeah.
Is that about, have you ever heard me teach anything else?
It's the nature of the cross. It's ultimate. It's,
and everything else isn't.
Fine.
It's not. It's neither good or bad. It's just dumb. It's just it's that which once had a purpose and now has no purpose. I mean, think of the incredible words that no man can come unto me unless he hates his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, his children, yea, and his own life also. Well, how can that be? Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Be careful for nothing. How can that be? It's only one way. It's finished. It's been finished for 2,000 years. And what it takes for you to understand that it's finished is for you to finally apprehend and be apprehended by the certainty that you are the instead of Christ. Your mind is the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. And so therefore you owe your mind and your judgments and your emotions nothing, because they're all the antithesis of faith. Oh, but this is what I feel about that. Nobody cares. This is what I believe about. Nobody cares what you believe. This is either true or it's not. If it's not true, if you can't see it, if it doesn't mean anything to you, then you should go someplace else. This is the only thing I've ever said. You ever heard me try to talk you into anything? Or have you heard Paul try to talk you into anything? Or Jesus? Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. Okay, I'll come unto you for a minute, and I'll get a little bit of rest, and I'll go back in my own way. No, you'll go back until you find out that way is garbage. And that's all that life has been since the day you become a believer. Well, I've got to go do this, and then I've got to take care of that, and then this is what I want for this, and I'd like this. No. It's gone. The moment the I motive comes in, then you've resurrected the Antichrist. The Antichrist was wounded with a deadly head wound 2,000 years ago. But he keeps resurrecting himself in you. And he does it so that God's plan can be perfected. The instead of Christ, the child of Satan, is just doing the perfect will of God. He's the great opposer. He opposes everything that's of God and that's part of the mystery of God. And that's his job. And that's what your mind does. That's his function. That's what your emotions do. Until you can repent for those things that just come upon you. Well, it didn't just come upon you. It was lying in wait because of your own internal judgments and thoughts. Oh, I'm responsible for my dreams. Because your dreams are the whole thing that are revealing this. That's the only way you have to resolve the daily conflicts between your internal religion and what you see. So you dream, and so there can be some moment of stasis so you can at least not go crazy that day. But are you responsible for your dreams? Yes. Until you come to the place where it is finished. You've been perfected by one offering. I know it, and nothing can take you away from that. By definition, you will automatically go with other people who are of the same like precious faith, because that's the way of the mystery, because it's about us, not about you. I went way over my time. Take a big guy. I got to go.
Wow. That should be a thought. I understand that.
Can somebody do that for me, please? I got to... Sure.